Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Chamber Link. I am Shannon Full, the president and CEO of the Chamber, and I get the pleasure of being the host of today's conversation. So we're talking about something here that impacts every single person and every sector in our regional economy, and that's air service and our local airport. I'm so thrilled to be here today to talk about this. I'm really passionate about air service and about our airport. To some, this seems like a nicety. To most, it seems like a necessity, and it is. We are more than just an amenity. This is truly an economic development engine and a driver. It helps us to put a visibility to our community. And so Hector International Airport has just completed a major phase of redevelopment, including new gates and a brand new parking ramp. It's not just a facilities update. It truly is a strategic investment in our region's competitiveness, our connectivity, and an icon for long-term growth in our region. So for business leaders, strong air service impacts everything from their ability to attract talent and keep talent here to client access to site selection and their ability to expand here in our region. So today we want to unpack what the redevelopment of the airport means, the expansion, the transformation, not just for travelers, but for the broader business community. And we're going to hear a little bit about the challenges and the opportunities of our market and what we should expect to see in the future. So joining me, my two illustrious guests for the day, we're excited to have Sean Doberstein, the Airport Executive Director at Hector International, and Rick Berg, the Chair of the Airport Authority Board. Thank you both for being here with us today. I'm really excited for the conversation. So let's kick it off. Sean, talk a little bit about what's happening at the airport. What are our travelers seeing now? And then we'll jump into another question after that. But tell us all about what's happening at the airport.
Yeah, we opened the new edition in early February. It's been spectacular. The reaction from the traveling public has been awesome, just to see their faces as they come out of the new checkpoint and turn and look down the concourse is it's pretty interesting to see what that reaction is. Their eyes get real big and really like what they see. There's a lot more natural lighting in this terminal expansion area, a lot more amenities, more space at the gates, and just the architecture in and of itself with all the wood beams and everything else just really makes it stand out and looks really fascinating.
Yeah, because when is the last time the airport had any type of update or upgrade?
2008, we finished an expansion. We went from 4 gates to 5 gates, and that was completed in 2008 and changed the colors of the inside of the terminal and some new restrooms, new concessions area, and so forth. But it's been a while.
And a pretty significant parking ramp or parking looks different now at the airport as well, right?
Yes, that opened this past August, and hopefully this week or early next week we'll get our first floor back for short-term parking. Okay. We'll open the lanes in front of the terminal hopefully Thursday or Friday of this week to get back to some normalcy. But, yeah, there's just under 1,000 spaces for people to park inside the new parking ramp.
Wonderful. All right, Rick, with your role on the Airport Authority, maybe talk a little bit about what the responsibility of the Airport Authority is, because I do think that to listeners, that's a fascinating governance model as well. So talk a little bit about the Airport Authority and then really what drove the Airport Authority to the decision-making of this expansion and transformation.
Well, those are two big questions. First of all, thanks for having us. And yes. I couldn't be more proud of what the airport is transforming to right now and the impact that's really going to have in Fargo. You know, the Airport Authority is an independent governing entity. And so its members are appointed by the City Commission. But their role is really to manage the operations of the airport, expand the airport, try and understand the needs of the community and making sure that we're meeting those needs going forward. So that's kind of the core of what the Airport Authority does. We're coordinating between the federal government, the FAA, coordinating with the state government through the Aeronautics Commission, and then, of course, all the people that are providing services at the airport for the aviation industry as well as companies that really for business aviation as well as commercial aviation using Hector Field to expand their business.
Great. Awesome. So talk a little bit about the motivation behind the transformation, the expansion. When, why now?
Well, I think the motivation is just probably from the commercial passengers. We've seen continual growth at Hector in the last, I don't know, ever since COVID, it just continually gone up. Probably, I think, almost two-thirds of our passengers in and out of North Dakota come through Hettinger, or come through my hometown, Hettinger. I wouldn't handle that, but come through Hector. And so I just think the growing need is what really drove this. And then, of course, we've got some great financial partners, you know, Senator Hovind, Senator Kramer, Representative Fedorchuk, all kind of help move this forward, too. And it's a long process. It's not like building a normal building. So it's been interesting for me to see it from the board's perspective versus the private sector.
Yeah, Sean, can you talk a little bit about, Rick alluded a little to the growth and what we're seeing. Talk a little bit about the numbers of what are we seeing for passengers in and out of the airport capacity that we're currently at. You want to touch a little bit on those?
Yeah, you know, when I started at the airport in 1991, there was 180,000 boardings. That's how many people purchased tickets to leave Fargo. Last year, we were just under 600,000. So between like 2009, 2019, that range, you know, we've seen about 36% growth. Now you add in to recent date, and we're approaching 40% growth just in that time period there. So lots more passengers as this region grows, as we get more flights and opportunities for people. They seem to want to originate their trip here in Fargo, and we hope that that continues.
I love that. Rick, talk a little bit about the scope, walking through the scope of the project. This was quite the undertaking. It still is, right? We're not done by any means. But you mentioned the great federal partners. How was a project like this funded, and really what does the timeline look like?
Well, we only have an hour.
I know.
But generally, the way the federal government funds airport projects, it's over multiple years. So we started the project, and we received the money kind of as we went forward. So a bulk of it came from the federal government. The parking ramp was supported by the state government through financing with the state government. And then, of course, the really I would say the management that's been done over the years, you know, credit to Sean, we had the capital to fill in the gaps going forward. So, you know, despite having $200 million in expansion, we're still extremely solid financially going forward. And, you know, the other thing that we're looking at doing is adding a hotel to the airport as well. So that's probably the next project on the horizon.
Awesome. We're going to talk a little bit about that hotel in the next segment when we talk about the what's coming forward. But, Sean, talk a little bit about what's been done so far, and then what is still left to be done, and maybe the timeline with all of that. What can everyone expect?
Yes, the new security checkpoint and the expansion area opened in early February. So there's five gates that are available there. And once that occurred, the contractors closed down what I call the existing footprint of the terminal, where everybody had been operating in and out of the airport since, you know, 1986. And the time frame for that will be to complete those modifications hopefully by Christmas or early January. There's a skyway that's under construction between the parking ramp and the terminal. We hope to have that open right after Thanksgiving in that time frame. And then outside of the terminal, the apron itself. We did expand the apron this summer. That's where the aircraft parked to get access to the terminal and the gates. But all of the existing concrete that has been there since the mid-1980s needs to be replaced as well. And that's a two-year project. We'll do about half of that this coming summer and another half of that next summer as well. So there's a lot more improvements that will be taking place. We did complete also an underground forced main for treating glycol, the aircraft de-icing fluid runoff as well, in conjunction with the state and the city. We now have a pipeline up to the lagoons north of the airport to treat that and deal with that as well. So there's multiple projects inside the terminal and also outside that are still underway.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. People don't see where a lot of the money goes, and in order to attract the aircraft and the freight, you have to have the right runways. They have to be upgraded, and so a tremendous amount of our expenses are really things you don't see, but it's infrastructure. One thing I'm really excited about, though, is the Skyway. The Skyway is going to be really cool. You'll be able to go in the parking lot, or even if you're not parking in the parking lot, go to the elevator in the parking lot, go to the second floor, and if you're not checking any bags, you'll go right to security. So I think that's really going to streamline the time for someone that's traveling. You know, grab your carry-on and go. So that'll be exciting.
Well, and I think the reality of it is we have some elements, weather elements, right?
We do.
And so
we do.
So this is really really thinking of the passenger first, right? Like the making sure that we're exceeding their expectations, and part of this is also how you make it a memorable experience for the traveler. Can you talk about any of the unique aspects of the airport? I know that there were some amenities that have been added that are maybe unique that you won't find in other airports. Sean, you have some of those?
Yeah, one of the items, we added a sensory room. So I have a special needs grandson and so forth, and it's an area, a place, a calming place where people with special needs can go. It's a lighted rainbow-type ceiling. There's a bubble screen on the wall. Comfortable furniture and so forth. So that's a new amenity that we have as well. There's a mother's nursing room that we have. We have a service animal relief room as well, which is required by the Federal Aviation Administration. And the most exciting thing that we've added is immersive reality. And I tell you what, when people get into that room, it's just amazing how it transforms what you can do. And we are the first airport in the world to have it. Now, the Red River Valley Fairgrounds has had the same technology for a couple of years, but we're the first airport in the world. It's a company out of the UK that we work with, and it's amazing. You can ride a roller coaster. You can go on a water slide. You can zip line. You can fly in the back of an eagle. You can fly a fighter jet. You can walk through Buckingham Palace. You can walk in most of the cities around the world, all from there. And then there's the sensory things for the kids as well. They can show like the outer space area and go up and touch the wall and there'll be starbursts or there'll be flames or there'll be butterflies or whatever it may be. There's hundreds of different options in that immersive reality room. And people, I was in there this morning showing some people how to do things, and it's amazing. We hope people don't miss their flights, but it's an amazing, amazing room. So get to the airport early and go experience it. It's really one of a kind.
Well, and I think what's amazing about that is, you know, you go to the traditional the airports that you see, the traditional play areas for kids, right? This is really a full family experience, right? It doesn't have to just be the children that are experiencing the immersive reality room.
And we do have a playground as well. So if you're familiar with the Fargo Park District's new facility, the Sanford Complex down south, they have these interactive televisions that kids can go to. And if you've ever been there when it's really busy down there, kids are all over the screens. And that's the way it is at the airport as well. We have a couple of those for the kids to play with as well.
Great. Well, we're going to take a quick little break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the amenities and the opportunities for the business community. All right. We are back and ready to go. So we are talking today with Rick Berg, the chair of the Hector International Airport Authority, and with Sean Doberstein, the executive director out at the airport. Again, thrilled to have both of you gentlemen with us. It's an exciting time for our region, exciting time for our airport. So now we're going to talk a little bit about, from a business lens and a business perspective, the importance and the criticality of the airport. Rick, maybe kick us off by talking a little bit about why a strong airport is so essential to the business community, but also to our community as a whole.
Well, I think a strong airport grows the community. And so what we have here in our region, we've got 260,000 people, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, and we have a lot of smart people and a lot of good business people. And the more they can get out and grow their business through either private aviation or through commercial aviation, bring that knowledge, bring those dollars back to this area where they can then grow their business, hire more people, help us grow. So it's really, I mean, it's just absolutely critical for the growth of business here to be able to quickly access, get people, you know, and I think, you know, so many people have switched to Zoom and that type of thing, but that's not necessarily how we do business. We do business face-to-face. And so I think that's why we're seeing the growth is they're, you know, around the country, around the world, they're meeting North Dakota people, North Dakota values that have good, solid business plans. And they're partnering with those, and then those dollars come back and help us grow the whole community.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really great point, right? We have seen kind of the pendulum go from one extreme to the other going into COVID, and we were all in virtual meetings. And now, at least our experience, even with our events here, is that people really, it's human nature to want that connectivity, right? To want that face-to-face component of it. Sean, can you talk a little bit about what we've seen from COVID to where we are now and kind of what you're seeing or what you anticipate for business travel?
You know, we've seen a significant increase in leisure traffic over business. In the traditional months, August and September would typically be 70-80% business and 20-30% leisure. It's just the opposite now. So they talk about bleisure travel. Business and leisure together. We do have our road warriors here in the Fargo-Moorhead area that still travel. You know, you get your Bobcats, your John Deeres, and others. But we really haven't seen the business traffic come back like we did prior to. And it's, as Mr. Berg said, it's really through Zoom and Teams that people are still doing a lot of that interaction. Hopefully it will continue to grow each year, but as of right now, it's still pretty soft.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting piece, and I wonder if it's more our region or what we're going to see. And we're going to hear a week from today from Jeff Davidman, the VP of Delta Airlines, does government affairs for Delta Airlines, is going to be here in our region. I'll talk a little bit more about that.
Congratulations for bringing him in.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
I think it's going to be a really fascinating discussion. He's going to talk a little bit about what Delta Airlines is seeing and some of the national trends that we're seeing, and maybe we'll see that business travel is coming back in other areas. We're hoping that will be the case for us too. But certainly an airport that has, talk, Sean, maybe a little bit too, as we add additional gates, what does that really do to the region, the opportunity for business, and how do businesses help to shape the future of air service and where we're going with those gates?
You know, the additional space, so going from the 5 gates to the 9 gates, will give us the capacity, if you will, to accommodate more aircraft early in the morning for that early morning bank where a lot of carriers might be avoiding the market here because there's not space. And 10, 15 minutes makes a big deal in the operation of a multi-million-dollar aircraft. If they don't have the gate space, the crew time, and everything that goes into those considerations, there's no guarantees that we'll see additional, you know, new airlines coming into the market. There's not that many left out there. As you know, Allegiant is buying Sun Country right now, and they'll integrate later this year, early next year. Our hope is that our existing carriers will either add additional markets. You know, we just had Delta add the nonstop to Atlanta year-round, where prior to that it's been a seasonal market for us. We're working with American Airlines on Charlotte service. We have a U.S. DOT grant in conjunction with the EDC and the Convention and Visitors Bureau to try and make that happen. But it's also upgauging aircraft from larger size, taking the 50 and 76 seaters and getting to mainline aircraft, as we're, you know, attempting to do with American to Dallas or even United to Chicago. So it's a culmination of things where the airlines look for where they can make the most money with the aircraft that they have. And while Fargo might make money, maybe they make more elsewhere or vice versa. They'll enter markets where they can give the biggest return on the investment for their shareholders and so forth. But I do foresee additional frequencies coming, especially in that early morning bank, as we get the additional space for the carriers. And hopefully a couple of new entrants maybe into the market as well.
Okay.
I think that's part of the key, is we need to create more direct flights out of Fargo. And by doing that, that just makes, whether it's business or tourism travel, just, you know, a lot easier, and we'll build that. So I think that's, you know, there's 100 factors behind that, but that's certainly one of our goals, is how can we create more direct flights out of Fargo.
And the business partners are really, really good to work with, and we've done that for years. And, of course, in conjunction with the Chamber, the survey that we're going to continue to do on an annual basis to collect that data. Let us know where you're traveling to, what the frequency is, what your travel budgets are. And those are inside things that the carriers really want to know when I meet with network planners. They know a lot about our market. They just don't know what's in the weeds, if you will, in terms of when the next business here in Fargo is going to buy somebody in Texas or California or New York that they want to capture and be able to provide that service and meet the needs of that business person.
Yeah, you make a really great point that the business community, there are many, many factors, Rick, as you talked about, as airlines decide where they're going to go and how profitable it will be. But the business community and the ability for us to access that critical data from the business community saying, where are you looking at expansion? Maybe, Rick, talk about air service is the number one thing we hear from our companies. How are we going to get more flights? Where are we going to get more flights? How is the airport authority aligning that as a priority and what you want to see?
Well, it's certainly one of our top priorities. I think I'll boil it down as simple as I can. And Sean said this, a new flight, a new route, they want to make money at it. And I think probably not that this is set in stone, but if there are 30 people a day going to a certain airport back and forth, that creates the opportunity for a flight. You know, and I think what we've seen is it'd be good to have a direct flight to the West Coast. It'd be good to have a direct flight, you know, as Sean mentioned, Charlotte on the East Coast. And so I think that's really what we need to do, is we need to find those people that are, you know, committed to using maybe a new airline or a different airline to make those direct flights.
Yep, great. So I know that we have a hard stop here in just a couple of seconds. So one of the things that we'll do when we come back, we're going to talk about some of these additional challenges when we return. So be back in just a little bit. Welcome back, everyone. Shannon Full here with the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce, and we are talking everything all about the airport, the expansion, the renovation, air service. We're now going to talk a little bit about the challenges and the opportunities. Joining me is the executive director of the airport, Sean Doberstein, and the chair of the Airport Authority, Rick Berg. And so now we've got a lot of great things happening out at the airport, but with growth also comes challenges and opportunity. And so one of the biggest things, Rick, maybe I'll ask you from your perspective at the Airport Authority, what do you feel are a couple of the greatest challenges facing us now and into the future with the airport?
Well, it's maybe a little in the weeds, but I think one of the challenges, they call it a leakage. And so how many people from our area here are not using Fargo Airport but driving to Minneapolis and taking a flight? And I think a lot of times people look at that, and when you first start a trip, you're very conscientious about the cost. Mm-hmm. And I just hope, going forward, people also look at the cost of driving to Minneapolis, fighting that, maybe coming back in late, having a bunch of grumpy people in the car, driving 4 or 5 hours back to Fargo and crappy roads and that kind of thing. So, you know, that's probably how do we, you know, encourage more people to fly through Fargo. You know, one of the things where Fargo is a magnet is there's a lot of people that drive to Fargo. They drive to Fargo and then get on the plane and maybe drive, you know, 50 miles, something like that. And so one of the ideas that we have is adding a hotel, connecting it to the airport. And Sioux Falls has done that, and it's worked out really, I think, successful because they're planning on expanding that. So the idea, you know, here in Fargo, because we're a connecting airport, you know, a lot of the flights leave early, and that's how you get to your destination early afternoon. And so if people can come to Fargo the night before, stay in a hotel and a connected hotel, and then walk in their flip-flops to get on the plane, I think that'll attract more people from our region to fly out of Fargo.
I totally agree. And you just never know with weather, right? So if you can come the night before and have an amenity of a hotel right there, I do think that can be pretty spectacular. And that leakage, as a mom of two, I will tell you that, you know, it's all great if you think you can head out and you're driving to Minneapolis and getting on, but getting back and then trying to drive home. And the other thing are just the comparative costs of parking, right? When you start to add everything up of your time, your gas, your parking, just the headache alone, it's a very, very affordable choice and smart choice to fly here locally, not to mention the increased economic impact. These are people's job that, you know, we're helping with people's livelihoods and jobs. We're supporting their local economy. I think those are other factors that should be factored in. Sean, talk a little bit about, we're talking about the transformation of the commercial side of our airport, but we have a significant component of this, of maybe the private aviation component, the military. What are some of those uniquenesses and opportunities we have there?
Well, you know, people ask, well, you're an international airport, but you don't have any international flights. Well, we have dozens of international flights every day. They're just either private aviation or, like you say, the corporate aviation types. We have 24/7 customs available. We have 24/7 air traffic control tower. We have aircraft rescue and firefighting available 24/7. So we're very attractive from a safety standpoint when a pilot's transversing the skies over the Fargo-Moorhead region. If they need something or if they need fuel, whatever it might be, clear customs, we have that available for them. And, you know, that's a big sector that is growing around the country, is in the world for that matter, where we co-market with Fargo Jet Center and AvFuel all over the world to make Fargo as a destination when aircraft are coming into the United States, clear customs, refuel, and then take off your destination. Typically, it's California is where they're heading to, or Nevada. And we'll see that to continue to grow as things go on. But As far as the military that's here, you know, we have the Hapley Hooligans, the 119th, and we also have the North Dakota Army National Guard. Fargo is unique in that we're one of two airports in the world that allows a remotely piloted aircraft, which is the MQ-9, to operate in and amongst commercial traffic or general aviation traffic. Fargo and Syracuse are the only two that allow that. And so we've worked with the Federal Aviation Administration. Senator Hovind's been instrumental in UAS integration to the commercial traffic, if you will, the national airspace system. And Fargo is a leader in that, along with our military.
Yeah, and that when we think about that component of it, that also is a significant economic driver, right? Economic impact to our region, not just from the money that's coming in, but really the innovation, the technology, the businesses that are able to spin off of this, and then obviously the people that are employed by all of those different entities as well. We just had our military fly in out to D.C., and to have the 119th Wing here is truly an asset to our region for numerous different reasons. So Rick, talk a little bit about the importance of our listeners. If you are in the business space, what is the role, the opportunity, and the responsibility for you to partner with the airport? What does that look like? And maybe I'll ask that of both of you, because you might be able to share some different perspectives of how does a business get involved or support the airport?
Well, I think the main thing we touched on is how do we add more routes to Fargo? Mm-hmm. If we have more competition, hopefully the cost of airline tickets will be reduced. So, you know, again, how we do that is we try and identify where the new routes that might work, and are there companies that are willing to commit to those routes to ensure that we have 30 plus passengers a day. You know, and we've got obviously some major businesses in the Fargo-Moorhead area. I mean, the colleges, NDSU, et cetera. I think there's $9 billion companies. We saw that in the paper the other day. But a lot of small companies, too, that are growing companies. And so I think if we can, like, coordinate their need with where we see the opportunities for growth, then it's, you know, it gives us a real strong argument to attract another direct route.
Yeah, Sean, talk a little bit about from the local companies. Also, I think about when you travel to airports, what's memorable is how do we make the Fargo International Airport Fargo-esque, right? Represents our region. So talk a little bit about opportunities for companies to show up within the airport, whether that be advertising or storytelling or whatever that might be. But how do we, and maybe arts, and how do we reflect our region? So when people come here, it is generally the first door, the front door for many people to our region. Talk a little bit about that impact.
Well, there's a couple of things. The new spaces that I mentioned earlier, you know, the sensory room, the Sarah room, the mother's nursing room, the playground, and the immersive reality room, all of those are available for a sponsorship. So if you're interested in that, you can get a hold of me at the airport and work with our team to see if that's something that you want to help to showcase not only your presence here in Fargo, but also in support of the Airport Authority. We have an art and amenities committee that's out there as well. So you're going to see a significant transformation of the new terminal as well as the existing terminal that's being modified to be filled with art and different things that represent the local area. Dr. Michael Strand from North Dakota State University is going to set up what I call the mini museums, if you will, of artifacts that they have in storage at NDSU to come out and really tell a story that connects our region with the passenger that's coming in that maybe not be from here. The other thing I'll say is that the new terminal expansion area that you see came from focus groups from our community. There were multiple focus groups that the architect and the designers put together. They would show you pictures of colors or buildings or different things, and people would respond to it multiple times. So the color scheme that you see, the wood, the architecture, everything that you see came from the community through those focus groups. And that's a really neat thing that you did. The other thing that we did is we partnered early on and have been partners with the Freedom Resource Center for a long time, those with disabilities. That was top of the key in the design to address the various people and the various disabilities that are out there as well. So we hope that it's user-friendly from that standpoint as well.
So
another thing that we really would like is for businesses to partner with the Airport Authority by telling us how your experience was. I mean, the only way we improve is to find out, you know, what are we doing well, what are areas we can improve on, and, you know, that's really the role of the Airport Authority is to help coordinate that.
So part of another amenity or part of the experience for many is the food and beverage component to this. And so let's talk a little bit about that opportunity. I know there are we've been engaged with conversations with the Liquor Control Board on many passengers are looking at where can I get something to eat when I'm there, but also can I take a beverage to my gate? Is there opportunity there? Talk a little bit about, Sean, what the restaurant bar feel will look like, and then what we're looking for from that aspect.
So the old checkpoint, if you will, when you came up the escalators and walked straight ahead to the checkpoint, that's being transformed into a new food and beverage location beyond security. Once you get through security, there'll be a new bar and restaurant there. It's going to be called the Salty Bison. So Skydine, our partner from Sioux Falls, is the concessionaire for that area. So in the meantime, this transitional phase that we have in the new expansion, we're operating from what it's going to be a future coffee bar. We're trying to operate a full restaurant from that small congested area as you come through the checkpoint. And there's a temporary bar that's been set up as well. And they're doing the best that they can with the limited space that's available. And then we'll look at some other options to try and expand some seating areas and so forth. But it's really going to be a challenge that we're going to see through the end of the year, first part of the year, until that new restaurant opens there. And I think they're looking at a Cinnabons for that space, Beans Coffee Company, to come into the airport as well in partnership with Skydine. As far as the Liquor Control Board discussions that we've had, we're looking at expanding the area where alcohol can be consumed within the terminal, whether that's the entire gate area or just a larger bar area. We're just trying to like mimic what the Dome does or Shields Arena or the downtown street fair and so forth, where the alcohol is purchased. You know, obviously you're 21, you're of age, you've been checked, and bartenders do all of that. It's just where can that be consumed to allow people to go to the gate, if you will, and have a beer, a wine, or whatever.
Sure, and there are numerous airports across the country that do allow that kind of traveling aspect of that. Well, we're going to take another little break, and when we come back, we'll look at what's ahead for the airport. All right, welcome back, everyone, for our final segment. Shannon Full, the president of the chamber here, along with Sean Doberstein, the executive director of the airport, Rick Berg, the chair of the airport authority, everything airport. We are so excited that we are having this fabulous transformation and redevelopment of the airport. Coming up next week, 1 week from today, March 10th, from 8 to 9:30, the chamber's hosting Jeff Davidman, the VP of Government Affairs for Delta Airlines. And so when he comes in, he's going to talk about the future of Delta and aviation in general. When you think about the future of our airport, I'd be interested from each of you, what's next for the airport? What are you most excited about as we continue complete the renovation and expansion? Sean, maybe what are you most excited for?
Well, obviously to continue to watch the growth. January of this year was the busiest January on record. We had a 19-month consecutive streak of record boardings. It was broken in November and December due in part to the government shutdown and the FAA-mandated reduction in flights, unfortunately. Otherwise, I think that would continue. So to just watch the continued growth in the region and how they support Hector Airport, additional flights, additional seats in the market, which will reduce the leakage that we have to Minneapolis and other airports. You solve leakage by putting more seats into the market, and that's something that will work with the airline partners.
Because we run at pretty strong capacity, right?
We do. Yep, it's really well. So the other thing is on our website, fargoairport.com, is a device right on the homepage, Fly My Airport. Fargo's already in there. Just put where you want to go, and it gives you the least expensive fare that's out there. So use Fly My Airport. It's right on the fargoairport.com. It works out really well, and you actually do buy the ticket from the airline. So it's a powerful tool that we have. And I think, you know, going forward, we've already started working on the next major project for the airport, which is the extension of our secondary runway. Because our primary runway, which was reconstructed back in 2004, is going to come to the end of its useful life. Well, in order to accommodate all of the traffic that we have, both commercial, private aviation, and cargo, and military, we have to have another runway that is long enough and strong enough to support that traffic that we're having there. So that'll be $120, $150 million project. Hopefully in the next 5 to 6 years, we can break ground on that. And the most immediate thing, which I wish we could break out ground on today, as Rick had said, would be the hotel. I think that's going to be a real popular investment that a company will make here. They run the clubhouse here in Fargo. They run the Aerostay at the Sioux Falls Airport. That's the developer that we're working with, and hopefully we can break ground on that soon.
That's exciting. Great. Rick, most exciting aspects for you?
Well, getting everything done will be nice. So it's kind of like we're excited, but it's kind of been dribbled out to the public. You know, it's one of these projects that we want to open whatever we can as soon as we can. But I think it'll be exciting when everything's completed, the Skyway's completed. You know, there's a hotel on that second floor. I think beyond that, one of the things that, you know, we've been talking about is how do we make this a regional airport? Mm-hmm. How do we expand it? And, you know, what are the pros and cons of doing that? But really, we're serving the region now. So that's maybe, you know, how do we do a better job of serving the region and become more of an official regional airport? Then, of course, the next project is to figure out how we do the next expansion on the terminal. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's been thought put into that. So, again, it's exciting to be in a growing area. I see so many other airports that their employments are flat or declining, and we just have a robust community here that's growing, going to continue to grow. And so I think for the airport, we want to stay ahead of that.
Great. As we continue to kind of wrap up, I know we've got about 5 minutes left, but maybe let me ask, if you each had a takeaway that you want the listeners to take away from our conversation today, whether that be a resident that's listening to us or a business leader that's listening to us, what is the one key takeaway you want them to take away from us? Sean, we'll let you go first.
That the Airport Authority is open for feedback. I mean, we want to be successful, and we want to meet the needs of the traveling public, whether it's a passenger coming through the front door to fly in the commercial carriers or if it's a private pilot that's coming through the airport. Let us know how we're doing, as Rick had said earlier, so that we can change the course, if you will, to meet those needs and do a better job to enhance that customer experience that they're having, whether it's in the passenger terminal or someplace else on the airfield.
Rick, how about you?
Well, for just one thing, I would encourage people to fly more out of Fargo, and just see how it can benefit them through being face-to-face with a customer or expansion your business or even just as a family on a vacation or something like that. I think our goal is to make it the best airport in its class, and we want people to use it.
So I'm going to take a little bit of spin just because we have a couple of minutes here. What do you see are some things happening in the community that are also going to advance airport usage? So let's talk a little bit, Rick, maybe something passionate to you, NDSU, anything going on at NDSU that might increase some air travel?
Yeah, something called FBS I think is going to be exciting. It's obviously it's a big step for NDSU, but what I've seen is other schools that have made that step, it's grown their enrollment, it's strengthened their faculty, it's strengthened their research. So a lot of the teams in the Mountain West are land-grant schools like us, so there'll be a lot of collaboration. So I see more air transportation and people moving to other teams throughout the Mountain West from just university staff, and then, of course, from a fan staff. It'll be pretty exciting to go some of these other destinations.
Yeah, Sean, what else are you seeing in the community, whether it be from the business community, events, air show, anything like that you're looking forward to that will help us to drive additional air traffic?
Well, hopefully it's not breaking news, but we will have the Thunderbirds here in August of 2027. It'll be the 80th anniversary of the North Dakota Air National Guard. So we're really looking forward to that event and celebrating the military here in the area. But I've been focused on the conference center, the possibility of a large conference center here to bring in more people to our community, I think is long overdue. And hopefully once that facility is completed, as the decision is made as to where it's going to be built, I think that's going to stimulate a lot of additional traffic here. You know, you think of all of the researchers at NDSU, whether it's in engineering or agriculture, they all go to their respective conference someplace in the world on barley or corn or whatever the research may be. Let's bring that here to Fargo-Moorhead. Or if somebody at Sanford or Accenture that's going to a medical conference, let's bring that here to Fargo-Moorhead. There's hundreds of examples and opportunities, I think, and working with our partnership, not only with the Chamber, the Convention Bureau, and the EDC, I think it's just a matter of informing people that are going to those conferences, find out who's running it, who's the main key of contact, give that to the CVB or the chamber, and let's bring them to Fargo.
Yeah, I think that's such a none of these kind of investments happen in a vacuum, right? The convention center is very connected to the airport, and how that is going to play together. We are very uniquely positioned for some really continued strength and growth in our region, and it makes me so excited. So let me just close by saying, both Sean and Rick, thank you so much for the conversation. Thank you for your leadership, your commitment, your passion around this. As we mentioned, we'll continue the conversation at our upcoming Chamber annual meeting on March 10th, where we will have Jeff Davidman from Delta Airlines. If anybody listening wants to join us, it's from 8 to 9:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn. You can find more information on the Chamber's website. If you're a business leader who cares about regional competitiveness, this is a conversation that you won't want to miss, but it's also one that the Airport Authority, Sean at the airport, we need to hear from you as business leaders. We're passionate about continuing to grow our airport. Thank you for listening. Join us next time. We'll talk everything public policy from the Minnesota legislative session to civic engagement. That's our next episode. Have a great day, everyone.